this year has multiple applications. It is being given around the time of Tisha B'Av as we begin the Gimel Deporniuta, the 3 weeks of admonishment and rebuke in the Haftarah. The Haftarah we are looking at, Divrei Yirmiyahu, is the first of those Haftarahs, usually either read, depending on how the Parshas work themselves out, for Parshas Pinchas or for Parshas Matos. It may also be utilized, however, this year, as we will see later, for an understanding of Pesach as well. And I am entitling this year Moshe and Yirmiyahu, two prophets, two destinies, one act of Kabbalah's Olmachut Shamayim. In looking at the Haftarah, I've noted the following similarities between Moshe Rabbeinu and between Yirmiyahu Hanavi. The Haftarah begins, Divrei Yirmiyahu. The Medrash says, Komakom Shenemar Davar Divrei Devarim, or it says one of these languages, the words of. It says, it's v'tochachot. These are considered to be admonishments. Ketiv eila ha-devarim asher diber Moshe. As it says, these are the words that Moshe spoke. So already we have a comparison between the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu gives rebuke and Yirmiyahu gives rebuke in the word devar, devarim, divrei, which are accounted for here. It says, divrei Yirmiyahu. What does the word Yirmiyahu mean? So it says in Kohelet Rabbah, it says, Lama Nikra Shemo Yirmiyah. Why is his name called Yirmiyah? Shebiyamav Naaseh Yerushalayim Yirmiyah. Because in his days, Jerusalem became an Yirmiyah. What is Yirmiyah? That's a Greek word for desolate. In his days, Yerushalayim became desolate, and thereby he was called Yirmiyah. However, I would like to suggest that just like we know we have other similar words, Eliyahu, Yeshayahu. So Yirmiyahu can mean Hayarimoti, the one who lifts me up, Kahu. This is God. God is the one who lifts me up. And Moshe Rabbeinu also, in terms of his name, we know ki min amayim ishituhu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was drawn out or drawn up from the water. And thereby they both share a similar notion of being brought up by the mission that the Ribono Shel Olam will give them. Another similarity between the two, we read in the pasuk of the Haftarah, Beterem etzarcha babeten yidaticha, ubeterem teitze meirechem hikdashticha. God already knew Yirmiyahu, we are told, in the womb. And he was already sanctified in terms of the fulfillment of what his prophetic role would be, both from birth and before birth. Navi lagoyim netaticha. I have given you as a prophet to the nations. And it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu as well is similarly, we know, elected already from birth, already going down the river, being watched, already set up for wonderful things to happen. We know when he is found, there are miracles that are identified with his salvation. He is certainly identifiable as being one who is going to be already from the age of being a baby, as someone who will be a leader of the Jewish people and of the world. It says by Yirmiyah that God already knew him in the womb. Yirmiyah nolad mahul, it says in Yalkut Shimoni, that Yirmiyah was born already circumcised. And so too we know Moshe Rabbeinu, when it says they saw him and he was good, they saw that he was good. There are those who say, Midrashim that say, that Moshe Rabbeinu also had the uniqueness that he was born mahul. we also see the following take place. It says regarding Yirmiyahu going on in the Haftorah, Va'omar aha, Hashem Elokim hine lo yadati daber, ki nar anochi. Yirmiyahu says that I don't know how to speak, for I am just a boy. And of course Moshe Rabbeinu in his own way, we also know, did not know how to speak because of the fact that he would take the coal instead of the diamonds according to the Medrash and burn his tongue with it, and being led by the Malach to do that so Paro would not kill him. And as a result, he stammered, and he was also not an ish devarim, not a person of words, as Yirmiyahu says that he also is not a speaker. It also says here, Yirmiyahu says he can't speak ki nar anochi, because I am a nar. And it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu, already from birth, we know it says, v'hine na'ar bocha, not a baby was crying, but a na'ar, a young boy was already crying. Similar, a nar in both cases. And then, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Yirmiyahu says that God said to him, Al Tomar Nar Anochi, do not say that you're just a boy. Ki Al Kol Asher Eshlachacha Teleich, V'et Kol Asher Atzavacha Tedaber. He says, you'll do whatever I say, whatever I send you for, and you will say whatever I command you to say. And so too, just like Yirmiyahu here did not want to fulfill his mission, did not think he was worthy. We also know that Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, the burning bush, also engaged in an argument for 7 days, in fact, with Ribono Shel Olam, trying to convince him that he was not the one to go forth and save the Jewish people. In fact, as Rav Soloveitchik has explained, and he's done so when it comes up in the keynote, it says there, Shalachna b'yad tishlach, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually argued, why was he arguing to send someone else instead of him? Didn't he want to save the Jewish people? He was arguing, as it says in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Rav pointed out, that his desire was actually that Eliyahu HaNavi should be sent instead of him, because he saw that if he would be sent, that it would not end up in the immediate redemption of the Jewish people. But if Eliyahu would be sent, then it would be, we know, Yemot HaMashiach, and there would be the final redemption. And God had to tell him that this was not the way that redemption works, said the Rav. Redemption is a process. It does not necessarily, although it could, come in the blink of an eye. And thereby, Moshe Rabbeinu would have to go through the proper process and steps necessary for Klal Yisrael to become a nation and to eventually, over their long exiles, when the time was right, to then be redeemed. It goes on in Yirmiyah, Al tira mipneihem ki techani lahatzilecha neum Hashem. Yirmiyah is told, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, not to be afraid, even though there are those who are greater than him and he's just one individual, because God is with him. Vayishlach Hashem et yado vayigal pi, and God put, how beautiful is this poetic statement, put his hand forth, as it were, and he touched Yirmiyahu's mouth. Vayomer Hashem Eli, hinei natati devarai b'picha, and he said, here I have given my word in your mouth. And we know also that there are notions in Chumash at certain times of his life where Moshe Rabbeinu, it is said, had the Ribono Shel Olam speaking mitoch grono, that God was speaking out of the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Similarly here, as it speaks of God touching the mouth of Yirmiyahu, and that his words are going forth from the mouth of Yirmiyahu. Later on in the Haftorah, as it begins a new chapter, it says, Vayhi devar Hashem Eli lemor, Haloch v'karata v'oznei Yerushalayim lemor, Ko amar Hashem, Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. God then says that Yerushalayim should be spoken to, and that God says that He remembers the loving kindness of your youth. Avat lo tayich lefteh achar b'midbar be'eretz lo zurah. The Jewish people went out into the desert, into the wilderness, in a land that had no planting, that had no food. He remembers the ancestors of those in Yerushalayim at the time, God does not forget them, much as it says perhaps by Moshe Rabbeinu that he is told by God that God remembers Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the covenant that he made with them to save the Jewish people for the sake of the nation and for the sake of the land of Israel. There too, as it says here in Yirmiyahu, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, Reshit Tevuata, that Israel is the Holy One of God. He is the first. Israel is the first of God's planting. So too does it say by Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. God says also there that Israel is the first. Israel is its firstborn. And thereafter it says, Kadesh Li Kol B'chor. As the Jewish people were redeemed, God requires, in fact, he already is as an indication of it in the case of the Sneh. Already there he talks about the firstborn of the Egyptians being wiped out. The fact that God has sanctified the firstborn, much as here Israel, its firstborn, has also been sanctified in Yirmiyahu. And as it says, Kol Ocholav Yeshamu Ra'at Tavo Aleihem Nu'um Hashem, as God says that whoever consumes the Jewish people, evil will come upon them. So indeed, when he initiates his conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, as I previously mentioned, he speaks already of the destruction of the firstborn that would come upon Egypt as a result of the evil that they would visit upon Klal Yisrael. The indication, I believe, that the comparison between Yirmiyahu and Moshe Rabbeinu is in fact warranted comes from Yalkut Shimoni, where we have an indication of this. When it says, Diber Yirmiyahu ben Hilkiyahu, Amar Yudin bar Simon, My Dichti, what does it say, what it means in the Torah, Navi Akim Lehem Mikerav Achechem Kamocha, that God told Moshe Rabbeinu that one day in the future he would allow a prophet to arise from the midst of his brethren, Kamocha, who was like you, Moshe. How could that be? The Medrash says, V'hakati v'lo kam navi o b'Yisrael kimoshe. Does it not say that another prophet would never rise in Israel like Moshe at the end and the closing of the Torah? So how could another prophet arise who is like Moshe? Umayamar kamocha. So how could it say that a prophet will rise like you, Moshe? The Medrash says, Ella haya Yirmiyahu kamoto. Rather, what are we talking about? Indeed, Yirmiyahu was, in a sense, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekola katu bazeh. For whatever was said with reference to Moshe Rabbeinu was said with reference to Yirmiyahu. And now they will bring other cases which we did not bring of this comparison. Zeh ni be'arba'im shana ve'zeh ni be'arba'im shana. The first Moshe Rabbeinu, he prophesies for 40 years, and Yirmiyahu prophesies for 40 years. Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied for Yehuda, for Yisrael, and yet there were those in its midst, despite the good he was trying to do, who stood up and tried to wipe him out, namely Korach and his rebellion. And so too, with reference to Yirmiyah, because of his message of the destruction of Yerushalayim, there were those who came up who also wanted to destroy him. Zehu shlach li ya'or, v'zehu shlach labor. Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the river, and Yirmiyah was thrown into the pit. Zenitzal yedei ima, v'zal yedei eved. And both were saved, Moshe Rabbeinu being saved by either Ima, the person who would become his mother, or Amata, perhaps the Medrash means by a servant girl who was there at the waters. And so too, Yirmiyah was saved by a servant, by a slave, who came to his rescue in the pit.
Zeba b'divrei tochachot, v'zeba b'divrei chochachot. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we mentioned initially, came to give rebuke to the Jewish people, words of rebuke, and so too Yirmiyahu came to give words of rebuke, again establishing now in the Medrash, as I have argued, the comparison being legitimate between the life of Moshe Rabbeinu and the life of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. The next Medrash in the Yalkut says as follows. Amar Rav Brechya. Amar Yirmiya Ashok Shemi Bakoanim. Yirmiyahu said that his name has been wronged amongst the Kohanim. What does that mean? He goes on. B'yamei Moshe, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yivarechecha Hashem. It says, and God will bless you, in the Birkas Kohanim. U'b'yamai, and in my name, and in my time, B'lokeach mehem klala. God says he only takes curses from the Jewish people. There's no bracha upon the Jewish people. B'yamei Moshe, v'yishmerecha. It says in the time of Moshe that God would protect his people and guard them. U'b'yamai, asher mot mod lamut. It says that God will surely have the people die and not protect them. B'yamei Moshe, Yair Hashem panav elecha. In the time of Moshe, it says that God would enlighten the people, turn his face toward the people, lift up his face towards them. U'b'yamai, b'machashakim hoshivani. And in my time, as it says in Eicha, you have made the people dwell in darkness, not in light. B'yamei Moshe v'chunecha. In the time of Moshe, it said that God would show his chain, his grace, to the Jewish people. U'b'yamai asher lo etein chanina. But in my day, says Yirmiyahu, God has said he will not give his grace to the Jewish people. B'yamei Moshe yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. In the time of Moshe, the Birkas Kohanim promised that God would lift up his face to the people and grant them peace. U'b'yamai ki asafti et shlomi me'etam azeh. And in my day, says Yirmiyahu, the Ribono Shel Olam has taken back any peace from the nation of the Jewish people. We see this, therefore, in the comparison between them, that Moshe Rabbeinu, who, by the way, sits at the River Jordan and looks out over the future of Klal Yisrael, while Yirmiya, in another comparison, if I may, sits on Aros Babel, on the river of Babylon, and looks over Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu looks over that river and he sees, and his role was one of salvation to bring to Klal Yisrael, where he sees that, at least in the temporary picture, that Klal Yisrael will take the land of Israel, conquer it, establish themselves in that land in a journey that Moshe Rabbeinu was not permitted to go on. Where in the case of Yirmiyahu, he sits and envisions the destruction of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, where the Jewish people will not settle in the land, but in fact be exiled from the land. Both of them have a mission. Moshe Rabbeinu's mission is one of salvation. Yirmiyahu's mission is one of destruction. We turn to a kina, which is found in the morning liturgy of Tisha B'Av, which says, Eish tukad b'kirbi b'haloti alibi b'tzeiti mi'mitzrayim. A fire of elation burns within me when I recall my heart and what happened when I went out of Egypt. Ki mi ma'ira l'manas kira b'tzeiti mi'ushalayim. But I shall arouse lamentations, so that I'll remember what occurred when I went forth from Yerushalayim. And the next part of the kina, Az yashir Moshe, shir lo yinashe, b'tzeitim Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu chose to sing a song not to be forgotten when the Jews went out of Egypt. Vayikonein Yirmiyahu v'naha nehi niyah v'tzeitim Yerushalayim. But Yirmiyahu composed a kina, a lament, a mournful lament when I went forth from Yerushalayim. There is a great deal to say concerning this kina. One can go online under our insights into the keynote and listen to a full description and understanding of this kina from the view of Reb Soloveitchik. However, I would like to emphasize for our purposes the fact that the Sifte Chaim, Reb Friedlander, in his work, points out what the comparison is between these two seemingly disparate historic events of the Jews going out of Egypt and the Jews going out of Eretz Yisrael, out of Yerushalayim. He says that despite the fact that these seem like they are totally different, in both, one was able to see the Shekhinah, in both events. Moshe Rabbeinu could see the Shekhinah clearly, as all of Klal Yisrael could, in the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yirmiyahu, despite the horror and the tragedy that he was beholding, could yet see the Shekhinah in the exile that was occurring in the destruction of Yerushalayim. Rav Soloveitchik, in reference to something else that has been said, points out that in the Kedusha, we say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakot, Meloch, Laretz, Kvodo, a statement from Yeshayahu, who says that God is holy and the whole earth is full of His glory. And then we say, in Yechezkel, from Yechezkel, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, blessed be the glory of God from its place. Yeshayahu sees the glory of God everywhere, Meloch al Haaretz Kivodo, where Yechezkel only sees it, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimekomo, from a place, just a place far away, but not everywhere. Rav Soloveitchik explained that when it comes to Yeshayahu, who lived before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, who saw the Beis Hamikdash itself, at those times it seemed as if God's glory filled the earth. The time of Yechezkel, when he saw the Jewish people going into chains, going into exile, enduring terrible suffering and pain, even then, despite this terrible tragedy happening to our nation, he also could say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimakomo, that he could still see the Shekhinah. It may not have been as intense, as full, but certainly he could still see the Shekhinah, even at that time. Both Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmiyahu shared the fact that they could see the Shekhinah. And how was it that they could share such a fact? I would say that's because of the third verse in Kedusha. The third verse in Kedusha, Yimloch Hashem Le'olam Elokayet Zion L'dor V'dor Haleluka. The third verse in Kedusha, which does not come from the Malachim as the other two verses, but comes from the Tehillim of David HaMelech, that God will reign forever and ever, that God is King. And we know that there are poskim who say that the Ikar Kedusha is Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod. For example, that those would be the only things you should stop for if you're in your silent Shemona Esrei, or if you are in Pesukei Dezimra, or a place where you have to interrupt, and you're allowed to for Kedusha, you should only interrupt for these two statements. Yimloch, seemingly, and I always understood as such, and I never knew why people went up on their feet on Yimloch, because after all, we go up on our feet to try to be like the Malachim, to ascend to their level. That's why we have our feet together, like the Malachim, who are described as having only one foot. So too, Yimloch, while people go up on Yimloch, the customary thing is to do that as well. I always wondered why that was the case. Because after all, Yimloch is not from the Malachim, it's from Tehillim. And thereby, it doesn't make sense that Yimloch should be part of Kedusha. It's not something that the Malachim said. So why is it Yimloch is part of Kedusha? I never understood this. Apparently, Rav Soloveitchik explained that Yimloch is, in fact, a part of Kedusha. That Yimloch is the act of Kabbalah's Almachut Shemayim, accepting God's kingship upon oneself. And we know that earlier in the davening, after Baruch, we say V'chulam mikablim aleihem almachut shemayim zemizeh. We know that the angels, when they say Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch Kavod, they can only do so because they are accepting almachut shemayim upon themselves. And Rav Soloveitchik explained that an act of Kedusha, if you're going to be Mekadish Hashem, it has to be accompanied with an act of Kabbalah's almachut shemayim, which is why that pasuk is there. It serves that purpose. In fact, as I have heard from Talmidim of the Rav directly, who spoke to him about this, I was told that originally in Uval Etzion, the Rav was only makpid on the hazmana by the chazan for Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod. But then later he also had it that it should be done for Hashem Yimloch L'Olam Va'ed as well. Again, an indication that he considered that, as I understand it, to be also an integral part of Kedusha, because one must be Mekabel Ol Malchut Shemayim to be Mekadesh Hashem. This is the great equalizer between the different destinies of Moshe Rabbeinu and of Yirmiyahu. Moshe Rabbeinu's destiny was for the salvation of the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu's destiny was for the vision and the living through of the destruction of portions of the Jewish people and of their Eretz Yisrael. And yet, both were Mekabel Ol Malchut Shemayim to the same intensity, and hence both were capable of seeing the Shekhinah in their lives and the events that they witnessed. All of us in our own lives have our unique missions in serving as Avdei Hashem. It is God's will that we have different destinies. No one's is alike. No one's is the same. And yet, we are all the same and can be the same in terms of our greatness, in our commitment to that destiny, whatever it may be, in our act of Kabbalah's Almachut Shemayim, in our acceptance of God's kingship upon ourselves. Ultimately, it is that, no matter how our lives turn out, no matter if one suffers through life on the one hand and God created that life for him, or if one is able to rejoice in his life and be able to see the salvation of the Jewish people in terms of what God has granted him in his particular time. The Kabbalah Almachut Shemayim, accepting of God's kingship in either situation, is in fact what is the determining factor of the madrega that a person will be judged on. As we say in the Gemara in Brachos, the famous statement, Chayev Adam Levarech Ala Ra'a Kamo Ala Tova, a person is obligated to make a bracha, to recognize God as the source, both of good tidings and of evil tidings, that somehow God is still with us and visible, so to speak, and palpable in either of these situations that we experience, either as individuals, independent individuals, or as one individual in seeing both elements in our lives, the elements of destruction and the elements of redemption. Let us pray that we will be able to accept God's kingship and recognize the place that He plays in our lives, no matter what the experience of our lives needs to be, whether it be B'tzeitim Mitzrayim or B'tzeitim Yerushalayim. Amen.